Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, Ray, let's be honest. Neither you nor I has really watched anything of interest recently. You haven't gone to the movies. It's football season, so you don't get out as much. And I love watching great, intriguing TV shows and passing them along to people. Mm-hmm. I've been really tied up both with work, and I was in the play, the Guys and Dolls play, that just ended over this weekend. So I haven't seen anything.
Right.
I've been watching a little bit of a couple of my favorite shows, trying to catch up. Better Call Saul, which you know I love. Mm-hmm. I'm catching up on that. And then This Is Us, which is a show that nobody can actually believe I watch and like, but it's back. And so I've watched the first couple episodes of that. Special guest appearance by Franco Harris, or at least the guy playing Franco Harris in the show.
Oh, yeah? Is the show set in Pittsburgh?
It's set in Pittsburgh, and half of it is set in the 70s. It's then and now, and half of it's set in the 70s, and half of it is set today.
Is that because the Goldbergs were so successful? In Philadelphia?
I don't know. I don't think it's copying. It's very different than the Goldbergs. But anyway, it's a great show. It's a really well-written show. Bit of a tearjerker. But that's it. So I haven't seen anything new, which disqualifies me from reviewing anything. By the way, what we're watching received 20% off all windows and doors with no money down and up to 3 years to pay off interest-free at Guided Door and Window, which is the sponsor of what we're watching. Call Guided Door and Window today, 1-877-GO-GUIDE, or visit them at goguida.com. So, Ray, we turn to our producer, Kevin Keenan,
right,
who says he has just started watching a show. I will tell you, I've seen the commercials, the promos for the show, and it intrigues me. So we're going to find out how Kevin feels about Manifest, a new drama on NBC.
Yeah, so about a month ago, I was scrolling through Facebook and scrolled up through upon a trailer for a show called Manifest. The trailer hooked me instantly, about a nine-minute trailer, which essentially was the first 9 minutes of episode one.
Mm-hmm.
Hooked me instantly. So we're two episodes in so far, and the premise about this new show, it's about a passenger flight coming back from Jamaica. So, you know, folks returning from vacation from Jamaica back to New York. The only problem with this is when they land in New York, the world has aged 5 years, but nobody on the plane has aged a day. So think of this, normal flight for passengers.
Yeah.
Only a few hours, Jamaica to New York. World has aged 5 years. Not a single passenger has aged.
And they've been missing for 5 years?
They've been missing and presumed dead for 5.5 years.
So a plane disappears. 5 years later, it turns up, but the people on the plane thought, I've been on this plane for 2 hours.
A couple hours.
What's going on?
So there's a scene where the captain radios into air traffic control, you know, clear for landing. And air traffic control says, call your numbers again? Like, he's dumbfounded that these call numbers are all of a sudden showing up in air traffic control. Now, Glenn, you got to remember, 5 years later, family members have passed.
Yeah.
Husbands and wives have moved on. Kids are grown up. And you start to see
this
through all the other different plot twists. But something with this show that has me thinking differently than in recent shows that I've watched. Not necessarily on a storyline type basis, but direction.
Well, let me say this, Kevin. I'm thinking Lost here.
Yeah, that's the first
thing
I was thinking.
There's been a lot of comparisons to Lost.
It was a good show. I'm thinking a show that I really like called The Leftovers, which was on a couple of years ago, which is an HBO show where basically in one moment, 2% of the world's population just disappears. 140 million people just disappear. And so it's got kind of that impact. Sounds similar, evocative?
I was never a Lost guy, but I was just talking to a buddy of mine last night, and he made the comparison to Lost. So maybe I have to go back and watch an episode or two of Lost just to see the comparison. But the direction of this is, not necessarily like I was saying storyline-wise, but what angle are they taking here? Is this going to be a government-type theme?
Yeah.
Is this going to be a religious-type theme?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know, but I'm very, very interested.
How many episodes in?
Two episodes so far, and I believe there's 16 episodes, but don't hold me to that.
Do you know when it's on?
It is on Monday nights, 10 o'clock, NBC. Might have a conflict there with Monday Night Football, but even so.
Who watches a show when it's actually on, right?
Correct.
This is why they invented that you can watch TV anytime you want.
Absolutely.
On demand. Okay, wow. So you're giving it a big thumbs up, compelling yes.
Five stars, highly, highly
five stars. Ray, five stars. I didn't even know five stars existed.
Yeah, it weren't on my scale. That's good.
All right, one more time. The name of the show is?
The show is Manifest, 10 o'clock, Monday nights, NBC.
Kevin, has the episode shown anybody trying to get their car out of the parking lot when they go to the toll booth and the guy says, that'll be $18,000?
No, not
have
yet.
They shown that one yet?
Possibly down the line.
That's the moment that I want to see.
It started. anybody in it that I would know?
The main character is Melissa Roxborough and Josh Dallas. They play brother and sister, Michaela and Ben. Relatives unknown to me, but apparently
cool.
Josh Dallas was in Thor. So
that's
not my thing.
And it's got a large cast, so you're going to see everybody's story over time.
Over time.
I'm in. You know what? I'm going to try it. I'm definitely going to. Good review by you. Ray, fine job.
Thank
by
you, guys.
You.
Very well done.
Nicely done. There you go. Let's go to Doug in Williamstown. You're on 94 WIP. Hey, Doug.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
And I just want to preface this by saying I think Carson's going to be and is the best quarterback in Eagles history. But I just wanted to sound off on you guys and see if I'm seeing something wrong here. Last year we gave him praise for kill, changing the play at the line of scrimmage. He's the greatest quarterback ever, the way he reads the defense, on and on and on and on and on. Well, how come now when we're throwing the ball 10 straight times and he's getting to the line of scrimmage with tight ends all on offense, three tight ends, two tight end sets, why is he constantly audible into the pass? Why isn't he audible into the run?
Ray, this one's all yours.
I don't know. I mean, he's still finding his way back, I think, a little bit of it. And I also think that the Tennessee team, I think because of the way they play their defense, I think they're a challenge. I think they're a challenge for the center trying to set the blocking, and I think they're a challenge for a quarterback trying to read exactly what they're doing because they're very – I mean, they are really good at disguising things. So I think last week there were probably times when Wentz thought about it, but thought better of it and decided to go with the called play. It'll be, it's a point worth discussing, and they've probably discussed it internally this week. And that's one of the things I want to see tomorrow is how much more of that kind of calling it at the line of scrimmage, check with me kind of stuff Wentz does tomorrow against the Vikings, which I think is a team that the Eagles know a little bit better than they know the Titans.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to be smart, but all I keep hearing is why doesn't Doug run the ball? Why doesn't Doug run the ball? And I agree with that. But I do believe that there was run plays called last week that were checked out of quite a few times in that game.
Well, it also then depends.
I think it has to go hand in hand.
He doesn't get the blame that the offensive coordinator does. Yes, he can audible sometimes. It also depends on the personnel he's got in there at the time.
Yeah, I don't think he was checking out of runs to passes. I don't think that.
No, I think he's saying he wants them to check out of passes to runs.
Yeah, but I think he was saying the other thing. I think that's what he was saying last week. I think there were runs that were called that he checked into passes, and I don't think it went that way. He may have changed a play, but I don't think he changed the concept of the play. He might have changed from one run to another, or he might have changed from one pass to another. I don't think he flipped run to pass.
I thought he looked pretty good. I thought his accuracy was improving.
Listen, he's the least of their problems.
Yeah, I was going to say the only criticism with Wentz is he can hold the ball too long, and that doesn't help an offensive line that is struggling. But geez, again, I told you earlier, I wrote that he can hold his head high. Alshon Jeffrey can hold his head high.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Ajayi.
Yeah, for sure.
Give me somebody else from last week.
I thought the special teams were good. I gave them an A because the kicker made all the kicks, and the kid
punt returner almost
won the game for you.
Yeah. Sheesh. Nick in Allentown, you're on 94 WIP. Nick is not there. Let's try Q in Wilmington. Q, you're on 94 WIP.
There you go. What's up? How's it going out there?
Hey, Q.
Listen, I just wanted to say our corners are playing so just terrible. And I think one of the things that maybe can help fix them is if you get those guys playing receiver a couple times in practice and get them the ability to, play the ball instead of the receiver most of the time. Because every time you see Jalen Mills get beat, he's just really chasing the receiver. Like, he's not even really trying to do anything else but just chase the receiver. If you just tell him just to look back and locate the ball, I think he has a better chance of playing the ball than he does the receiver, And that's like, I don't think our corners have that ability. So maybe if you just get them playing receiver, maybe a couple snaps in practice or something, just so they could, play the ball sometimes. Because they just chase the receiver and end up getting a penalty or something. It's stupid. It's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, they're not playing well now, but, I mean, you did win 13 games with these guys last year, and you won the Super Bowl. They're playing badly. And part of it is what you're alluding to, which is poor technique. And they're definitely that's definitely where they are right now. And you know, Jim Schwartz, that was one of the things. If you saw any of his press conference this week, I mean, he used the term because everybody the whole line of questioning was really about the coverage and specifically about Mills. And he used the first thing he said was he was adamantly standing behind Jalen Mills. He said he's not being benched, he's not being moved, he's my cornerback. He made that eminently clear that he's not making a change. And the other part was, yeah, he's not playing well right now, but to him, it's a matter of technique. You know, we've seen him play well in the past, and that's true, but he's not playing well right now. But it's not a matter of the fact he can't do it. It's just right now he's playing with poor technique, and he has to be coached out of it. You have to understand one thing, that Jalen Mills is, to a large degree, Jim Schwartz's creation. You know, Jalen Mills was a seventh-round draft choice who came to camp, and hardly anybody paid any attention to him. And within 2 weeks, Jim Schwartz had moved him into the starting lineup. He had moved him from the bottom of the depth chart to the top of the depth chart just based on the fact that he liked everything about the kid. He liked his size. He liked his temperament. He liked the confidence. He liked the cockiness about him. And there were other cornerbacks, veteran cornerbacks, that they just jumped. I mean, Eric Rowe was a perfect example. Was a guy that, I mean, he just fell to the bottom of the depth chart because Schwartz didn't like him.
Not at all.
And he moved Mills all the way up because he liked him immediately. So, to a large degree, Mills is where he is right now because of Jim Schwartz. And so Schwartz isn't going to pull the plug on him. And even when I made the suggestion about moving him to safety, I knew it wasn't going to happen. I mean, I would consider doing it. But I think Schwartz is that committed to this guy that he's going to try and let him play through this.
Yeah, I do too, and I also think he doesn't feel like he's got a lot of alternatives that he likes. We talked off the air a little bit, and we got to hit a break here in about a minute, but we talked off the air about Rasul Douglas
right.
as a guy who you never hear his name.
Never.
As part of the plan.
Never.
You know, they're talking about who's going to play safety. Well, maybe a little Rasul Douglas, but clearly not.
No. I don't know what it is. I mean, he's on the team. They could have cut him. They didn't. So he's on the team. But whenever his name comes up and whenever you talk to a coach about him, they'll always – first of all, they never volunteer his name. Whenever they're talking about all the guys that are playing the various positions, you never hear his name. A coach never volunteers his name. And if you ask specifically about him, they'll say, well, yeah, he's kind of in the mix. But there's no evidence of that.
Yeah, a little dismissive.
So I kind of just think it's, and I don't know this, but I just kind of think that they don't trust his grasp of the defense. I think they feel like he's a guy that would be prone to mental mistakes. And we know he gave up a couple of bad touchdowns in the preseason, which kind of reinforced that. But I think that's what it is. It's not a matter of his size, because he's got perfect size, and he's got some skills. But I think that the coaches don't trust his grasp of the overall defense.
888-729-9494. Coming up, Ray Dinger's college football preview. We got some good games today, Ray?
We do.
All right. You'll hear about all of that and more, and we'll take your calls from Delaware Park Racetrack and Casino on 94 WIP. Hey, October Saturday, time for the Ray Dinger College football preview.
Giving me a little Keith Jackson there, huh? I like that. Okay, yeah, there's... Each week I try and do three different games, and there's three pretty easy ones right here. We're going to start with the Red River Rivalry, what's known as the Red River Rivalry. It's Oklahoma and Texas. This series has been going on forever, and they always play the game in the Cotton Bowl, which is a great venue. It's a great college football venue. Anybody that's ever been to the Cotton Bowl, you know that it's an old stadium. It sits right in the Texas State Fairgrounds in Dallas, and when it's Texas-Oklahoma weekend, that place is jumping. And they have reason to jump this year. They don't always, but the two teams are both ranked this year. Oklahoma is number 5. Texas is number 2. Texas started the season with an awful loss to Maryland. The game nobody thought they could lose, but they lost it. A lot of people thought the whole season was shot. But they have come back. They've won 4 in a row. They're back to 4-1 now. And taking a little momentum into this game against Oklahoma Oklahoma's been scoring an awful lot of points. They're really good offensively. They can move the football. They're explosive. Their quarterback, Kyler Murray, is really, really good. There's a lot of excitement about him before the season, and he has more than lived up to it. Texas quarterback is a guy named Sam Ellinger, who is just improved by leaps and bounds. And this will be the toughest test he's faced by far. And a lot of excitement, a lot of color, a lot of pageantry attached to this game. And now a lot of significance with number 5 against number 20. So that's game number 1, Oklahoma-Texas in the Red River Rivalry at the Cotton Bowl.
Nice.
Game number 2. And I'm actually talking about this team now for the second time, which is a little surprising to me. The Kentucky Wildcats. Normally that's a basketball school, but they're playing pretty good football this year. They're ranked number 15, and they are undefeated. They're 5-0, and they're 3-0 in the SEC. And there's some people that are starting to think that this team might make a little noise in the SEC and maybe even be a threat to Georgia. I'm not prepared to go quite that far. I apologize. Amy Fadul is probably mad at me now by saying that. I'm not fully sold on Kentucky yet, but they're starting to impress me, and they're starting to show that I think there's a little more meat there than I realized. But this is going to be a really tough test for them. They got to go down and they play Texas A&M, the Aggies at A&M, where they are very good. They're 3-2, but they've played a much tougher schedule. And again, when they play at home, they are really good. The Aggies are a very diverse offensive team. They're kind of fun to watch. They have a kid named Killian Mond, who plays quarterback, who's a real dual threat guy. He can run it, he can throw it. I don't think he's ever going to play in the NFL, but he's a terrific college player. And Kyle Field, when you have to play in Kyle Field at night under those lights with that crowd, and you know, they were the first team to talk, they're the first school to talk about the 12th man, they take it real serious down there. That's going to be a tough environment for Kentucky. I still like A&M in this game. And the other game is another night game, and this is Notre Dame. And Notre Dame, they also have a tough road game tonight. They got to go down, they got to play Virginia Tech at Virginia Tech. And anybody that's ever been down there, especially for a night game, man, that is a jumping environment, especially when they're playing a big school with a big reputation and a big ranking. And that's what Notre Dame is right now. Notre Dame is coming in here. They are undefeated. They've got some big wins. They had a very big win over Stanford. And a lot of people are starting to talk about this Notre Dame team as possibly being a Final Four team.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't really convinced, though, at the beginning of the year, because I was not the biggest fan of their quarterback, Brandon Wimbush, but they have now benched him. And they've gone to a kid named Ian Book, and he came in last week, and it was against Wake Forest, which isn't the best competition, but he looked sensational. He threw for 5 touchdowns. Now we'll see, can he take that on the road against a good Virginia Tech team who's 3-1 and always really good at home? So those are my 3 big games today. Red River Rivalry, Oklahoma-Texas at the Cotton Bowl down in Dallas. That's going to be fun. That is a noontime kickoff. And then Kentucky at A&M down at Kyle Field. That's going to be a really good game. And then the primetime game tonight, all those Subway alums are starting to get excited. They see Notre Dame at number 7, thinking they got them on the run at the national championship. Well, we'll see tonight how good this young quarterback is, because Virginia Tech's going to give them all they want.
There you go. Good stuff, Ray. Let's talk to Nick in Collegeville. You're on 94 WIP with Ray and Glenn.
Hey, gentlemen. How we doing?
Hey, Nick.
Let me just say to you guys and Kevin, I'm watching Manifest, and I really enjoy it. And like Kevin kind of hinted, like they didn't get into kind of like the government quarantine where you've been aspect of it. It's more about following these characters and character development and seeing like what happened to them and are they changed, altered, or there's something else going on. So, because a lot of these things get into like the government stuff where they, you know, and I've seen enough of those to get tired of it. But
I like it. I'm gonna check the show out. And just one more thing, because I was thinking about this. I believe I once saw a Twilight Zone, you know, from way back in the day that had this theme.
Look, if I was a producer in Hollywood, I would just watch the old Twilight Zone and a couple of older series and get good themes. Because that's what Netflix did with Black Mirror.
Yes, in my opinion. Which is a very good show.
Listen, now, real quick, to put a show above that, if I were you, Glenn, you like... what's that show you said, This Is Us?
Well, I do like This Is Us.
The producer-writers of that show came out with A Million Little Things that just started.
Yeah.
Yes. It's the same people, same writers and directors as This Is Us. But there's, in this case, there's like 3 leading male versus, you know, it's a little more male-oriented. It's about these three.
More male-oriented than This Is Us? How is that possible?
A little more female oriented. No. I watch
you
it too.
Think? No, I'm kidding because yes, it is.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I often feel like I'm the only man who ever watches that show.
No, I watch it with my fiance. But this is even better.
Put it this way: no man ever watches that show without being in a room
female.
With a woman.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. And these guys are. And I know we hate Boston, but these four friends from a long time ago are Boston fans, and they shoot a couple pictures in the garden with Boston playing, and they give away the theory right away. Like, you see the first 15 minutes, like, you see what happens. And I recommend this over Manifest, in my opinion. Good it is.
All right.
Writing, the dialogue. So anyway, so Glenn, this is not a personal attack, but you kind of framed the Markel topic when you brought it up. First of all, great win by the Flyers. Mm-hmm. But you framed the Markel thing like, oh, he hit a three and it kind of got blown out of proportion. And I agree, but I don't mean to point the finger at the call at the media versus the fans. The Sixer fans are just happy that in the first two games he took jumpers, which is something that Ben Simmons never did. Then the second game he hit a three, and I didn't care about he took a three or that he made a three. My number one concern this year was when he shoots the ball, and I don't care what the footage is away from the basket, when he shoots the ball, does he look a little more natural? And he looked great, but then I put on PTI, and I'm like, oh, he hit his three. Does this mean anything? I watched NBC Sports Monday or morning, whatever the show is actually called, and they're like, oh, we saw what we've been waiting for, Mark. And I'm like, I wasn't waiting for Markel to shoot a three.
Well, I think and Nick, thanks for the call, and thanks for the recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nick's sobriety on Fultz is actually rare. I think, I can just gather what I get hearing people, talking to people, and following them on Twitter, which may give me a skewed view of the world.
Right.
But on Twitter, on Facebook, on social media, it's like, oh, did you see it? Did you see what he did? It's an indication. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I think that's all we're really saying here.
Yeah. All right. Let's get one more call here before the break. Carl in D.C., you're on 94 WIP.
Gentlemen, how are we doing this Saturday? Great show.
All right, Carl.
I'm going to chime in. I love Manifest. My wife and I are both hooked on it, so yeah, I highly recommend it. But another show I'd like to throw into what we're watching is a new show by Dick Wolf called FBI that's on CBS on Tuesday nights.
FBI?
Yep.
Is that the Efren Zimbalist, Ray? You know who that was back in the day?
That's what it was back in the day.
Yeah.
This is a new twist with Dick Wolf being the executive producer, another show created by him. Awesome cast. And I love the interaction and the plot. So
here's the thing. TV is better now. Dramatic TV is better now than it ever has been since they invented TV. There are literally dozens of shows worth watching.
Oh, yes. I agree. I'm watching TV much more in the last 2 years because of the quality of the shows. Make a Flyers point. I watched the entire game Thursday night and loved it. But they have this new guy, and he's 29, and they were talking about it. His name is Lapp, and he's from Sweden. And he's a defenseman. In fact, he scored the first goal. His first NHL goal and the first goal for the Flyers.
Right.
And he's part of that defense makeup. And him and Simmons and Van Riemsdyk, Simmons looks really good this year now that he's healthy.
Well, it's one game, but yes, he did get two goals. That was good.
Yeah, and then Riemsdyk really looks like he's really meshed back in. But the Flyers were just exciting to watch.
It was fun. It was not boring hockey. I agree. They got a couple of fluke goals, but that's okay. Good teams get fluke goals that go their way.
Yeah, there are a couple pucks that are just lying in the crease that they poked in. But, that's part of the game. I just thought they looked like they played with a lot of energy. I mean, they carried the play most of the night. They showed some speed, and you and I both liked the re-signing of Van Riemsdyk. I was sorry they moved him in the first place. I was glad to get him back, and it was just good to see hockey again. It was just good to see hockey again, and to see them. It's tough when they have to start the season with their first two games, not just away from Philadelphia, but in a distant time zone. You hate to start the season that way, but. It was an encouraging start, and we'll see. We'll see if they can take it into Colorado.
Agreed. 888-729-9494. Nick and Rick and Wayne are coming up. They're going to be joining us, And we look forward to talking to you along with anybody else. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack. Now, hey, if you have prostate cancer, you should know about CyberKnife. CyberKnife uses painless precision in the fight against prostate cancer without surgery. Just 5 CyberKnife treatments instead of 40 daily treatments saves you time. Find out more online at phillycyberknife.com. That's phillycyberknife.com. It's your prostate, your cancer, your choice. Go to phillycyberknife.com. This was a paid advertisement for Philadelphia CyberKnife, a service of Delaware County Memorial Hospital. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now from Delaware Park Racetrack and Casino. Of course, we've talked a lot. Eagles tomorrow host the Minnesota Vikings. Eagles 2-2. Vikings 1-2-1, off to a disappointing start for them. Both teams have significant injuries, and for the Eagles, it includes Derek Barnett is not playing. That's a loss.
Yeah, he got hurt last week. He's got a shoulder injury of some sort. And they haven't said what it is, but it's enough. It's going to keep him out of the lineup.
Well, it's going to mean Michael Bennett will get a bigger role.
Might get to see Josh Sweat for the first time since the preseason.
Corey Clement is – these guys are questionable with a quadricep. Lodi Nana is questionable with a calf. Trayvon Hester may make a debut. And since game one, Eagles fans have not seen Darren Sproles, who has been out with a hamstring since the very beginning of the season. Dr. David Geld, our friend from Cooper Bone and Joint, joins us. Doc, always nice to talk to you.
How you guys doing today?
We're doing great, thank you. So it's been a month now that he's been out with the hamstring, and Darren Sproles, of course, is an important part of this team when he is here. So we want to ask you, it seems a long time for a hamstring, but you're the professional, I am not. What's up with that? Are these just slow injuries to recover from?
Yeah, so hamstrings are, we talked about in the past, they're tricky buggers where sometimes you're moving ahead, you're doing well, and all of a sudden you have a setback, and then you're, you know, it's one step forward, two steps back, and sometimes it just takes time, and sometimes you're doing well, and all of a sudden you just tweak it again, and then it's just a cycle. Obviously, with Sproles being that he's a speedster, he needs that quick movement, so if he can't do that, then sometimes it's not worthwhile having him out there.
How much does the age factor into this, Doctor? Because we know Sproles is, I mean, he's 35 years old, and he's been remarkably durable throughout his whole career, but is this injury more problematic or more lingering for someone who's in their mid-30s as opposed to their mid-20s?
It can be. I mean, depending on how flexible someone is, that also can be an issue. But just with the healing itself, and you know, I don't know how bad it was. I know initially you mentioned it was just minor, but sometimes that minor can become worse too. So it definitely can cause some issues and can last longer as you age too.
Does it also play into it, his position? He's a smaller guy. He relies on speed, mobility. If you were a, you know, a defensive tackle that had to cover that amount of turf, is it a different thing?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's his specialty. He needs to cut back quickly and, you know, go from standing to a, you know, a quick sprint right away. So that's when you're using that hamstring, and that's when you can pop it again. So definitely with his position, you want to make sure that it's completely or almost 100% so that he doesn't reoccur. You know, it doesn't reoccur, and then he's back to the drawing board again.
So, Ray, what I infer here is that Dr. Geld is saying that he suggests the Eagles trade for Le'Veon Bell.
That's what
I'm hearing.
You think that's what he's advocating?
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Well, in your medical opinion, would that be a good football move?
I concur.
There you go.
Well, there we go. All right.
Dr. Gell, it is always a pleasure, man.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Have a good week.
Thank you, doctor.
There you go. No, I'm not really on board with the Le'Veon Bell thing, but I don't know what they're going to do at running back for this season. I mean, you hope somebody's going to get healthy.
Well, I think that the Clement thing is not a major thing.
Okay.
I think it's, you know, it's a quad injury. I think he's close to coming back. I mean, he was running striders on the practice field this week. They don't feel he's quite ready to go now, but I don't think that's a long-term thing. Ajayi, you know, and that's not going to get better. I mean, he's just going to have to play through that. I mean, you're hoping that you get Sproles at some point. And in the meantime, you just try and get by with Smallwood, you know, who, again, ran the ball well last week. There are certain things he can do, but there are certain areas where his deficiencies can hurt you.
Let me ask you right now, okay, they're 4 games into a 12-game season, and we're certainly hoping, rooting, and expecting playoffs. But as of now, after 4 games, Jay Ajayi's got 37 carries, Corey Clement's got 27, Wendell Smallwood's got 22. Josh Adams got 6. Who at the end of this season leads the Eagles in rushing attempts?
Ajayi.
Ajayi. Okay. I hope so. That would to me be the right answer.
I think that's the way it's going to be. And I think it's going to be spread out throughout. I mean, nobody's going to carry it. They might not have a back carry the ball 20 times in a game all year. It's always going to be spread out. Like, Ajayi is always going to be, like, somewhere in that 15-16 range.
Okay.
I don't think they're ever going to commit to somebody where you're going to see a guy get 20-25 carries.
No. Somebody's not going to get hot, have that day?
I don't see it. It's an amazing thing about Sproles. I mean, Sproles, for as little as he is, and, man, he is little. Anybody's ever stood next to him, you know how little he is. What has been incredibly durable his whole career. I mean, he went through a stretch. He got an injury early, an ankle injury early in his career with San Diego. But when he came back from that, over the next 10 seasons, he only missed 6 games, which is amazing for a guy his size. Now, the last 2 years have been a different story. Last year he had the knee injury and the broken arm, missed most of the
same
season.
Same play.
And now he comes back this year and seemed perfectly healthy, looked really good in training camp, you know, fast, quick, ready to go. Everybody was talking about, boy, doesn't Sproles look good? Boom, here's the hamstring.
We'd love to have him back,
and,
right?
Yeah, I mean, they miss him. They really could use him.
Let's talk to Nick in Allentown. You're on 94 WIP. Hi, Nick.
How are you?
We're good.
Good.
Hey, I want to say one thing first. I love the way you tore apart the guy with the offense, having what's-his-name play offense. I've never heard you like that, Ray. That was impressive.
And by the way, the caller is not suggesting that he gets, like, one carry a game like Fridge Perry. He was saying you have problems at running back. Let's convert him to a running back so he can become a regular part of the offense.
Yeah.
And Ray and I –
Glenn disagrees with me. I'm still convinced he was pulling our leg. I don't think he was serious.
Nick, what do you think?
Sounded pretty serious.
I entirely believe that the guy believed what he was saying.
Okay.
So the big reason I talk to you guys, I'd like to talk to you guys, is Ray has an optimistic view, but a realistic view of what needs to be done to win a game or to play better. Ray, what are the biggest issues that face the Eagles going up against these guys, and what do you think can be changed? By your left.
The biggest issue is, to me, everybody's focusing on the secondary, and the secondary is, you got issues there for sure. You got to get the pass rush going. You got to get the pass. You got to get the defensive line going, and I saw that Fletcher Cox
Barnett's
had a quote.
Missing, though.
What's that?
Barnett's missing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I wish you had him because I think he's been playing pretty good. But Graham will play. I think Sweat will probably play. Bennett will get more snaps. He'll probably move him out to end. Long will play more.
That'll make him happy.
Yeah. Cox is playing really good. Cox is playing really well. They're not getting a whole lot out of the other tackle, but you're not really expecting that. Nada is not really, and never has been, a big pass rusher. If you're going to get interior pass rush, you're going to get it from Cox, but that's what they really need to do is that if they can get, and that's where I think this game, really to boil this game down to what I think its essence is of where the Eagles
line.
Need to be good and where the Vikings are vulnerable, it is in that area. If you look at the Vikings to this point, I mean, teams have been all over Kirk Cousins. I mean, he's had more people in his face and more pressure, and he's taken more hits and more sacks than any quarterback, and that's partly a function because of the fact that they're throwing the ball more than anybody else. But also, their offensive line, they're not running the ball a little bit. They've run the ball less than any team in football. It's all on Cousins, and the offensive line is not very good. To me, this is a game that falls squarely on the defensive line. This is a defensive line game. If the Eagles are going to win it, the defensive line has to play like the line that we always thought they were going to be.
4 games into the season, Brandon Graham does not have a sack. Had 9.5 last year. I don't think he's played poorly this year.
Certainly hasn't been an impact.
No.
And, you know, he was another guy that had surgery in the offseason, late. Had a late recovery. Didn't do much at all in the preseason. And I think he's still playing his way back into shape. Mm-hmm. Last week he had a couple of, like, near misses. He was kind of around the quarterback but couldn't quite get there. Tomorrow's the day when they really need him. They need all those guys in the defensive line. Because if Kirk Cousins can stand back there and have the time that Mariota had last week with these receivers, guess what? That's a long day.
Well, Kirk Cousins is, first of all, he's having a good season with them. And you're right, he's getting hit a lot, but his passer rating is 103.6, which is pretty good. He goes in there. He gets chemistry with Thielen and Stephon Diggs, and you talked about him earlier. They're both top-flight receivers. The Eagles had a tough time with Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson, and I think these guys are as good as them. They have John DeFilippo as their offensive coordinator, so he knows the Eagles' personnel, which doesn't hurt him. And Kirk Cousins has always played well against the Eagles and played well here.
Yeah.
In four games here, I can't give you all the stats, but I can tell you every time he comes in, I always think, like, oh, he's a lot better than I expected. I think, it's Kirk Cousins. He's just a guy. And whenever he plays here at Lincoln Financial Field, he's a star.
He's played well here.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's played well here. He's the guy that got Chip Kelly fired. I mean, that was the
game.
Well,
we can thank him for that.
That was the game that fired Chip Kelly. Washington came in here to the last game of the season.
Good for him.
Where the Eagles would win that game. They have a chance to still win the division. And Kirk Cousins came in here, and he just ripped the Eagles apart. And 3 days later, Chip Kelly was looking for a job.
Never really put that together, but that's a good point. So should we applaud him tomorrow? What are you saying we ought to do?
And probably some people would. I don't know if anybody thought about that, but that's really true. But he's red hot. I mean, he's an accurate thrower. He's more mobile than you think.
Yep. He's tough.
And he's tough. He's fearless. But he gets hit a lot. I mean, he's been sacked 13 times. He's been hit like 40 times. I mean, he's been taking a thumping.
Yeah.
And that offensive line is really not very good. And part of it is they just don't run the ball. They don't even try to run the ball. So this game is, it really kind of boils down to that, is the Eagles front four and their pass rush against a not very good Vikings offensive line. Their ability to either get or not get pressure on Kirk Cousins is probably going to decide who wins this thing.
Really surprised at how little they've gotten out of Dalvin Cook this season. And
he's
bring that up, right?
Another hamstring.
Yes, and I bring that up because I drafted him in fantasy football and expected a good year out of him.
Well, largely on my recommendation.
Well, maybe. I got him in a bargain. Where I got him, it seemed like a bargain. But he's really he has been banged up and hasn't done much and hasn't gotten anywhere. And they have the worst rushing statistics in the NFL.
Yeah, they don't run the ball.
Yeah.
Nobody.
The problem is the Eagles are good at stopping the run. The Eagles are not good at stopping the pass. So we'll make our picks on this game tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
But I will tell you, I think the over-under is 47.
Right.
I mean, it just sure seems like an over.
It does to me, too. When I saw that number, I was surprised because I thought this one shapes up as a game that's going to go higher. But, you know, Dalvin Cook is a good example of why scouting is hard. In pro football, Dalvin Cook was tough at Florida State, never got hurt, carried the ball all the time. One of the things I liked about him, and you know how much I liked him coming out in the draft, was in the fourth quarter of games and in hot weather down in Florida, man, he looked like he wasn't even breathing hard. I mean, he bounced off guys, he broke tackles, he never got tired. And I thought, you know, in addition to being really talented, here's a guy that's just physically tough and durable. He comes to the NFL, his first year, gets hurt. He misses the rest of the season. Now he comes back this year. He's got a hamstring injury that sidelined him. You could have never seen any of that coming because there was not the slightest suggestion of that in college. But he comes to the NFL, and it's just one thing after another. That's why scouting can be, I mean, it is such an inexact science.
Rick in Bryn Mawr, you're on 94 WIP.
Hi, guys. Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
And, Ray, I see every year at Otto Davis. I had my picture taken with you last year.
Ah, very nice. That's always a great event. It's coming back this November again, yeah.
Yep, I'm already signed up. I love it. I love it. I want to talk about Wentz because everybody's given Wentz a pass on the past couple games. And, you know, he didn't run last week. He only ran twice for 8 yards. And when he doesn't run, I don't think he's as good. Last year his excitement was when he was running. When he got in trouble, he ran. This year they got the ball in the overtime. They went down. They couldn't make it. They couldn't make it on fourth down. I think he's either been told not to run or he's afraid to run, and that's
You may not be aware of this, but he has only played two games after coming off 9 months of recovery from a very serious knee injury. I mean, to me, the point is, let's give him a little time to work his way back into a comfort zone.
That's true, but I was worried all last year that he was going to get hurt. It's hard to be a 15-year quarterback when you're a runner. And last year, of course, he did get hurt. And will he get hurt again? I don't know. But he has to learn how to be a better pocket quarterback if he's going to last 15 years. He has to learn not to run at the first time the first receiver is not open.
Yeah, I don't share your concern. and I appreciate your call and your kind words to Ray and the Otho Davis thing, but I thought he's been pretty good in these last two games back. He hasn't been, you know, incendiary, on fire, great, oh, my God, look at Wentz the savior, but I thought he's looked pretty good, and I think he's got to work his way into a groove.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. But the thing is that works its way through the whole offense, and this is just me. This is just my observation, okay? So I may be totally wrong about this. But looking back at these last two games with him and looking at the offensive line, especially the Tennessee game, I really think that the change in the quarterbacks has affected everybody. It's great to have Wentz back. I think everybody was excited to have him back. He's a terrific young quarterback. He's only going to get better. But I think the changeover has affected the offensive line because the timing of the offense is, to me, it's just different when Wentz is in there. Foles is almost purely a shotgun spread formation guy. I mean, everything kind of runs out of the spread formation with him in the shotgun. He kind of stays in the pocket. With Wentz, they go more under center. There's more 5 and 7 step drops. There's more play action. And if you're an offensive lineman, what you're seeing in front of you, the time, you don't really see what's happening behind you, but the timing of it is affected. And how the defense is reacting to things is affected. And I think what the offensive linemen are seeing from play to play and the timing of executing their blocks and things, I think it's changed significantly in the changeover from Foles to Wentz. And I think that's contributing to some degree, not totally, but I think it's contributing to some degree to some of the issues that good players like Johnson, Brooks, and those guys are having, because I think there is an adjustment period here because Wentz does, because he does hold the ball a little longer, because he will try and run a little bit, he'll extend some plays, he'll create some movement on the defense that Nick won't, and I think there's a little bit of an adjustment period that the offensive linemen are going through, largely because of the change in the quarterback position.
Interesting point. You know what else would help him, and maybe we'll get more into this tomorrow, it's just an observation I'm making as we're going into a break. It'd be nice if the referees gave him a little bit of the protection that the elite quarterbacks in this league get.
Yeah.
He's getting punched in the face, and there's no flag.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers gets a flag if you breathe on him. Tom Brady, Drew Brees. He's getting clobbered in the helmet. It's like, nah, no problem.
I saw there was a slide. He did a slide one time where a guy hit him when he was on the ground.
Yep.
And, look, Wentz is not a complainer or a whiner, but he got up and was looking for the flag, and there wasn't one.
Yep. And there should have been. There was the one where he got the fumble, where he literally gets smacked in the helmet.
Yep, I agree.
888-729-9494. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now. We're at Delaware Park Racetrack and Casino on 94 WIP. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now, Delaware Park Racetrack and Casino. We're here until 1 o'clock today. And we will be back tomorrow. Now, tomorrow we're on from 10 to noon. Actually, you're on till 1. I got a race down for the pregame show, which you will be joining me. I do Countdown to Kickoff with Russ Tucker, Dave Spadaro tomorrow from 1 to 2 at the stadium. And then at 2 o'clock, we have our big pregame show. You will be part of that. Mm-hmm. Ike Reese, Ross Tucker, Ruben Franks, Howard Eskin, Merrill Reese. Help me out. I don't want to forget anybody. Pep Band.
Right.
Did I leave anybody out?
I think you got everybody.
There you go.
You've got Ike.
Oh,
got
and special alumni tomorrow, Todd Herrmann.
And Todd Herrmann's
is going to be honored. And Todd had a really nice 10-year career here with the Philadelphia Eagles. Was never a star, but always was a good player.
Good player.
And here's my one Todd Herrmann's memory. More than anything, it's not on the field. It's when you and I were doing a food final. When I was doing the food hunt, before we took them public, we used to just do it in the studio.
Right.
And it was the rib finals many years ago. He was a young player on the Eagles.
It might have been your very first one.
Might have been. I think I did ribs. No, I did burgers and then ribs. So it was the second one. But anyway.
It was the first one I was a part of.
We did it in the studio. And it was, man, we had a lineup that day. It was John Chaney, Georges Perrier, the chef. Bernie was with us, right?
Bernie was with us.
You, Todd Herrmann's. I have another Eagle as well.
Jamal Jackson.
Jamal. Okay, there you go. And I remember, and we sat around and ate ribs and drank Georges Perrier's wine, and it was a great time.
Yep.
Man, that was a great show.
It was.
But anyway, you're talking to young Todd Herrmann's, and you said this, I think you said it on the air, you said, you know, I see you ending up at tackle.
Mm-hmm.
You got the size, you got the body type, blah, 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 you can play tackle. And Todd Harriman's not being anybody's fool said, you bet. Because
that's Jack, where the money is.
That's exactly right.
He's the Willie Sutton line. That's where the money is.
Yep. He was okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Todd was a really good player. But for when the Eagles picked him, fourth round pick out of Saginaw Valley, everybody said, what are you kidding?
Yeah.
But actually, he was a good player. I mean, people who were really following the draft knew
that
he was
scouting,
a good player.
Man.
And I thought that he'd get drafted. In fact, I had him, I think, as a 5. So I wasn't shocked that the Eagles got him at 4. But he was a smart kid and real coachable. And, when they wanted him to play guard, he played guard. When they wanted him to play tackle, he played tackle. And week in and week out, he was just a real consistent, strong player who could, who developed. Listen, Andy's offense was not easy for offensive linemen because they were pass protecting all the time. So sometimes big guys like him had a little bit of problem adjusting. Runyon did for a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
But when Todd got the hang of it and he worked at it, he became a really good, solid player for a long time.
Yeah, really nice. It'd be fun to have. And he always was a good guy, always was a good interview, always had a lot of personality. So
yes.
He'll be part of the pregame show tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that. All right, let's say hi to Wayne in Trenton. Wayne, you're on 94 WIP.
Good afternoon, guys.
Hey.
I want to talk about Russell Douglas and how I'm not – obviously there's more going on that us fans know about, but when he's on the field, he seems to make plays. The last time I saw him on the field, he had that that interception. Mm-hmm. And when he filled in last year, he made a lot of plays.
Curious. So, Ray, Wayne's question is, where the hell is he?
Yeah, why is he not on the field?
For some reason, the coaches don't have confidence in him. I don't know why. In the preseason, he was up and down. He misplayed, I forget which of the games it was, but he really badly misplayed, missed time to jump. Lost track of the ball, gave up an easy touchdown in one of the preseason games. Might have been Cleveland. I like his size. I like his athletic ability, and I liked him at West Virginia. I like the fact that he's willing to come up and tackle, which certainly this team needs in the secondary. But he does have problems tracking the ball in the air. That was true even in college. His technique in terms of pass defense is somewhat questionable. And I think most of all, I think the coaches just worry about him making mental mistakes because they work him in practice. They work all these guys in practice. And if he had really shown them a lot in practice where he had won their confidence, he'd be on the field more. They want him on the team because he's a good athlete, and I think they want to continue to work with him.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they're not playing him more minutes now tells me that they just don't think, in terms of his grasp of the defense and his assignments, that they feel confident that he's going to be able to execute it all.
Right. Well, it's like I said before, he seemed to me, again, he seems to make a lot of plays. But, obviously the coaches know they've got more experience with them. I wanted to also talk about Sweat, and I'll hang up. Do you think he's going to make an impact on the game tomorrow? Thanks for your time.
You got it. Well, he's going to get a chance.
Yeah, I think he'll probably get to play.
Don't want to overproject what a kid may do in his first game, but he'll get the opportunity.
I think, we don't know who the inactives are going to be yet, but it seems like this will be his opportunity. He's been inactive the first 4 games. I think that with Barnett sitting this one out, I think Sweat will probably get the call. I actually was a little disappointed in him in preseason. I thought, given the fact that he was playing mostly the second half of games and playing against other teams' backups and deep backups, I thought I'd see a little more flash. I thought I'd see him, be a little more visible and a little more active. And I kind of was a little disappointed. I thought I'd see a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But, he's got, he's 6'4", 250 pounds with, 4.56 speed. I mean, he's certainly got all the physical ability that you're looking for a guy to give you pressure off the edge. Let's see. I mean, I don't know how many snaps he'll get tomorrow, but he'll probably get some. And as I said earlier, I think this is a game where pass rush is going to be absolutely critical. I mean, the Eagles will either win or lose this game based on how much pressure and how uncomfortable they make Kirk Cousins.
Let's say hi to Jim. Jim, you're on with Ray and Glenn. Good morning, or good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ray and Glenn. First time, long time. You guys get me through my Saturdays and Sundays. I always put you in my radio and listen to you while I'm driving around. I have an Eagles comment.
Sure.
But before that, Glenn, I got to tell you, every Saturday and Sunday I get my best TV show tips from you guys, especially you, Glenn.
I appreciate that. I mean, I really try to take that seriously. I'm sorry that I haven't caught up on anything in a while, but this show Manifest that Kevin, our producer, recommends seems worth it.
Any show you recommended, I haven't missed yet, and they've all been right on.
Well, thank you.
There was an earlier caller talking about a new show called A Million Little Pieces.
Yeah.
And you had mentioned that you like the show, This Is Us.
Yeah.
If you like that show, you're going to love this one. Same guys, same writers, different concept, but if you have a chance to try and take a look at it, it's really good.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
My Eagles comment, Ray kind of stole some of my thunder when he was talking about the timing, but it's actually a combined comment. I think because of the extended season, I don't know if this is the definition of the Super Bowl hangover, but with the buys and all the playoff games in the Super Bowl, they played a lot longer than other teams did, obviously, and I think that extended season is probably playing into what they're doing, along with all the moving pieces, because you don't really seem to have any stability from week to week at quarterback and running back, but I think you're finally starting to get it. And that's why I think they're finally going to put it together, if not this week, in the coming weeks. But I think this week they're going to do it, and I think we're going to start to see the real Eagles from this week on. The only trepidation I have is the quarterback on the other side, because when he was with the Skins, he just had a way of tearing us up.
Especially in Philadelphia. I mean, he had some really, really good games here.
Unfortunately, I was at those games in Philadelphia, so I don't want to really think about them.
I'm sure you don't. I don't think anybody does. But yeah, I agree that I think I said, and Glenn, you'll remember me saying this to you before the season started. We talked about, we were looking ahead with the Eagles, and I said I just think this has been a tough off season for them.
Sure.
With injuries, with guys trying to come back from injuries. You go to training camp, a lot of guys were down, a lot of guys weren't able to practice, a lot of guys weren't able to play. And as a result, I don't think they had a particularly good summer.
Coaching changes.
I really don't. They had changes within the staff. There was just a lot of just bad stuff happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys hurt, guys not able to practice, coaches changes, all that kind of stuff. It just wasn't a good summer for them. And I said to you at the time, I think the Eagles will be okay this year over the long haul. But I wouldn't be surprised if they get off to a slow start. Remember me saying that?
Yeah, sure.
And here we are at 2-2. So in that respect, I'm not surprised, and I'm not overly alarmed. I mean, I kind of thought that it might be a little bit of a struggle coming out of the blocks. Now, I still stand by my feeling that I don't think this is a great division, and I think the Eagles can still get their act together and win it. I still think they're the best team in the division. But, you know, this, you can't overstate how important these next two games are. To beat this team tomorrow, because, listen, as many problems as we're talking about the Eagles having right now, the Vikings have all of that and more. I mean, right now the Vikings defense has played worse than the Eagles have played through four games.
Yes.
So the Vikings are coming in here with a lot of problems.
And their offensive line's a mess,
and the offensive line is not good, and they have a lot of injuries. In a lot of ways, they're kind of the mirror of the Eagles in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Eagles can win this game and then go up to I hate the short week, but go up to New York and take care of business against the Giants. You know, then you're 4-2, and you've kind of stabilized things, and you can begin moving forward from there. But they really do need this win tomorrow. It won't end their season if they don't get it, but they really do need it. If you're really thinking seriously about going back and repeating as Super Bowl champs, this is a game you kind of got to go out and make a statement and win it.
Yes, I hear you, and it's also why no team has won the Super Bowl twice in a row since the Patriots beat the Eagles in 05 or 04 season. By the way, the Giants play the Panthers tomorrow in Carolina.
Tough task.
Right, so it's going to be obviously a short week for both teams and a tough one. I'd rather be at home than on the road in that, but that's okay. If they're 4-4, I think they'll be okay. But I'd sure rather be, not 4-4. 3-3, excuse me.
Well, if they're
2-2. If they're 3-3 after this week, and yeah, maybe even 4-4.
Let's say four
after
four.
Carolina, Jacksonville.
Let's take them to the bye, because they have the bye after Jacksonville.
Right. If you're 4-4 going into the bye, it ain't great, and you're not going to get a lot of home games in the postseason. But if you're 4-4 in this division, you're still going to win the division.
The thing that you have going for you, if that's the case, if let's say 4-4, come and go to the bye, you come back. One of the big things you got going for you is you only have played one division game mm-hmm. in the first eight. So your schedule is backloaded with division games the second half of the year, and they're better than those teams.
And you own the opportunity to make your own luck.
To put
right.
the other teams away, right.
Yep. 888-729-9494. We'll take some calls coming up. We'll find out what we forgot to talk about from Delaware Park Racetrack and Casino. Ray and Glenn on 94 WIP. If you have prostate cancer, you should know about CyberKnife. CyberKnife uses painless precision in the fight against prostate cancer without surgery. Just 5 CyberKnife treatments instead of 40 daily treatments saves you time. Find out more online at phillycyberknife.com. That's phillycyberknife.com. It's your prostate. It's your cancer. It's your choice. Go to phillycyberknife.com. This was a paid advertisement from Philadelphia CyberKnife, a service of Delaware County Memorial Hospital. With Ray Dinger, I'm Glenn Mack. Now we'll take a couple calls. Ray, then we'll find out what we forgot to talk about. Of course, if we did forget to talk about anything, we can do it tomorrow. Just one quick thing. I was looking at the schedule for tomorrow. We're going to be tied up doing Eagle stuff most of the day. You've got the post-game show,
right.
too. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, before I get to that, what, you got anything going on today?
Yes. Right as soon as I leave here, I'm going straight to the Collingswood Book Fair, which you and I have done in the past, mm-hmm. which is a great event. All kinds of authors and all kinds of publishing houses have all their books out, and they have speakers all day. People have new books out. And
it's a great event. It's a really good show.
And so I'm going there, and I will be there. I believe that I'm speaking and signing books from beginning at 3 o'clock today. So if you're anywhere near Collingswood, New Jersey, and you don't have anything to do this afternoon, drop by the Collingswood Book Fair about 3 o'clock, and we'll be doing a little talk, answering some questions, discussing the Eagles-Vikings game, and also signing some copies of the Eagles Encyclopedia Champions Edition.
Beautiful. Schedule tomorrow, the Sunday night game tomorrow, which we're going to get home, I'll get home to watch, is Cowboys-Houston. Cowboys coming off of a win last week. Houston's defense good this year? Back?
J.J. Watt is.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt is. He'd been down for a couple years, but he's got 5 sacks in the last 2 games. He's starting to look like J.J. Watt again.
Love to see him rough up Prescott a little bit. The other game tomorrow that's intriguing, I won't get to watch it, is Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes, who's off to one of the great starts anybody's ever had as a quarterback.
Crazy.
Second-year player. And listen, when Andy moved up to draft him, he took a lot of heat for that. Right now, it's September. No, it's October now. But one thing we've seen from the Chiefs over the years is they're always good at the beginning of the year, and then they kind of fall apart. But he's off to a great start, and they play Jacksonville tomorrow, who arguably has the best defense in the league. So that's going to be a good matchup.
In Arrowhead, and it's that's the game. I wish that it wasn't at 1 o'clock. I guess I'll be able to see a little bit of it because the Eagles play at 4:30. But yeah, to me, that's the most interesting game, is to see how the Chiefs and how this young quarterback. This is certainly going to be the best defense he's faced so far. But man, he is playing great football. That was a big game for him the other night in Denver, to be playing on the road in a tough environment against a good team, against Von Miller, to be down double digits in the fourth quarter and bring his team back and win. That's a huge step for that young man. And
yeah.
He's good. And you see Andy's face on the sidelines. Andy's enjoying this so much because he sees that he's got something special with this kid. And the only thing is he's got to just kind of make sure he doesn't get too carried away. But Andy himself made the comparison. He said, I haven't had this much fun since I was coaching young Brett Favre.
Yeah.
And this kid
I guess that leaves McNabb off the – out of.
Well, I mean, I think just – I don't know if McNabb was ever fun. McNabb, I think what he means is just coaching somebody with that kind of talent who has that kind of fun playing the game.
Yeah.
And this kid he's good, but tomorrow he's going up against a really, really good defense.
Hey, real quick, because I do want to get some calls in, but I was remiss. I know you wanted to talk about the passing of one of the great, great sports writers and journalists ever, Dave Anderson of the New York Times, used to write the Sports of the Times column. Terrific column, and a good guy.
And a wonderful guy, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about it tomorrow, but I'm got to do the last hour of the show after you take off.
Okay.
So I'm going to do a little tribute to Dave tomorrow, but he was a columnist who wrote Sports of the Times for the New York Times for more than 30 years, and a terrific columnist, and as you said, a real gentleman. So I'm going to do a little tribute to Dave tomorrow.
All right. Anyway, his passing this week, one of the greats. Ricky in Newcastle, you're on 94 WIP.
Hey, fellas.
Hey, Rick.
You know, just lost the train of thought talking about Jacksonville, Kansas City. Who do y'all like? Who will y'all bet on that game?
Kansas City, Jacksonville tomorrow?
Yeah, who will you bet on?
What's the line?
Chiefs by 3.
In Kansas City, I'll take the Chiefs.
Okay. Okay, I got a problem with sports. Is he that stubborn that after Tom Brady threw for 500 yards that you can go out in the offseason and find a five, some cornerbacks or some D-backs to help this defense?
Sidney Jones.
They had Sidney Jones waiting in the wings, and they traded for Darby last year. I mean, they made a trade for Darby because they thought he was a young cornerback that could come in and be that other guy. And as I told you before, as I said earlier in the show, Schwartz, he's a Jalen Mills guy. I mean, he drafted him, he promoted him, he made him a starter, and he's committed to him. So,
wow. You
know, I think he's looking at this. He's not looking at this the way you are. I mean, he thinks he's got the players. He just thinks they're not playing well right now. But I don't think he questions his personnel, no.
Also needs the pass rush, as we said earlier.
Sure does.
Jerry in Hatboro, you're on 94 WIP.
Ray, Glenn.
Hey, Jer.
If only there was a Nobel for beer brewing, you'd be right up there, Glenn.
Wait, there's not?
Chemistry, I guess.
There you go.
But in any event, I was a lot less disappointed than I think I would be last weekend just because they didn't have Sproles and they didn't have Clement. And they're probably their most, you know, I miss that guy Blunt. He had a way of hanging in there. So I'd like to see the running backs get back to where they're working out.
They're a little short in that area right now.
Yeah, Smallwood has stepped up to the, I'd heard you, Ray, kind of denigrate him and say, well, you know, he's not much to write home about. But he has stepped it up the game in their absence, and he's doing pretty well there.
Yeah, he. The one thing he does, and this is true for his whole career, if you play, he's for a guy who's not that big, he is a physical runner. He will break tackles and he'll move the pile. If you run it between the tackles, that's where he's good. But other stuff, he's not a particularly good receiver, and he's a disaster in pass protection.
Yeah, I think he's about 5'10", about 185 pounds. I think he just gets bowled over. But in any event. What do you think about tomorrow? Do you guys give your prediction already?
No, we're going to give it tomorrow. We will give that tomorrow. And by the way, two quick things, and thanks, Jerry, based on what Jerry said. Yeah, he's small, but so is Darren Sproles, and he can block.
Look
Brian Westbrook.
Westbrook. I was just going to say Westbrook.
Sorry.
Westbrook, look how tiny Westbrook was.
Right, he could block.
And Westbrook was a tremendous. He was pass protection was one of the best things he did.
By the way, LeGarrette Blount so far this year, 35 carries, 95 yards, no TDs.
A lot of things going wrong in Detroit.
Last week
against
Dallas, 7 carries for 12 yards. Oof.
This has not been a great start for Matt Patricia in Detroit.
All right, Ray, we will go back to the studio now. We will talk to Vince Quinn, our producer, and we're going to find out what did we forget to talk about today, Vince?
Yeah, hello, gentlemen. So, first question, this is just exclusively for Ray. I just want to know how you feel about Jordan Mailata at running back.
All right, Vince, let me ask you.
Yeah.
Do you think that caller was trying to pull our leg, or he really believed that Mailata is a solution at running back?
You know, I hate to say it, but I'm kind of with him. In goal line situations, I would try it.
Well, first of all, he wasn't talking about goal line situations. He was talking about as a running back. Second of all, it ain't going to solve their problems.
Oh, it's definitely not going to solve their problems. But I think there's some merit to the idea. But I'm a little outside of the box.
Vince? Move on to the next point.
Yeah, see, there we go.
So. You are out of you don't think the first time that he got tuned up by an NFL player that ball wouldn't be popping up in the air and going 99 yards the other way?
I don't know. I would give it a shot. I would try it in practice, see what he looks like. Why not? Especially, I mean, not now because it's too late in the season, but in training camp and mini camps and all, yeah, why not? He's got experience holding the ball. And this one, is it smaller than a rugby ball?
Vince, move on to number two.
Yeah, so there we go. All right, well, I was just kind of kidding with that one anyway. But first off, Sixers preseason's been going on. What do you guys make of Markelle Fultz?
You're killing us, right?
I got to ask.
Well, we discussed that earlier, and this is the thing with Fultz. It's like, okay, so far He's taking shots. He's making a few. I want to see a lot more before I have any real strong opinion on Markelle Fultz. One more.
Okay. Doug Peterson was asked about Tim Jernigan this week and sort of gave a non-answer. What do you think about Tim Jernigan and his status?
I'm starting to think you might not see him again.
Yeah.
I mean, just the way there's ways that people answer questions without answering that suggests that there's more to it than just meets the eye. And it doesn't seem because you never even see him around. I mean, he's not even in the complex. So I'm starting to think that that he might not be back this season. I hope that's not true. I mean, they could use him. They could use all the depth they want on the defensive line. But the evasiveness and sort of the murkiness that surrounds his situation suggests to me that, you know, he might not be back this year.
Yes, I agree. All right, Vince, thank you very much. That's Vince Quinn. Kevin Keenan here. Kevin, good TV view, by the way. Ray, I will see you tomorrow, 10 o'clock. We'll be doing the show.
Yep.
And then the pregame, I'll be doing countdown to kickoff at 1, and the pregame starts at 2. You'll be part of a cast of thousands there as the Eagles take on the Vikings. Yes, we will give our predictions on that game tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, Go Birds podcast, Go Birds Radio is coming up with John Barchard and the guys. James Seltzer in there today? Oh, and Elliot Shore Parks. Well, there you go. It's a triple teamer. So stay tuned for that. Everybody have a great day. We will talk to you tomorrow right here on 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.